In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Those of you who are preparing to enter the ministry because you think it will make you popular are in for a bit of a shock. Don't get me wrong, there will always be some people who hunger and thirst for the gospel and will gladly hear and learn it. But there are more, a lot more, who do not, and who in fact despise it, and anyone who proclaims it. As it was for Isaiah, so it is for anyone who preaches woe to unrepentant sinners. Since there is nothing new under the sun, Isaiah's words of woe to Judah apply just as well to those of us who live in these last days. We may not have Assyria gathering at our borders, but then again, maybe we do. At any rate, we know that Jesus will come to be our judge, and thus we do well to heed the words of the prophet. Woe to those who do this and that. It's easy to think, well, that's not me. I can't even afford real estate. I never drink before noon. I do not lack for knowledge in this place of learning. Isaiah doesn't mean me, so I must be in good shape. You are wrong. You stand accused as they did, accused of idolatry, making gods of your stuff, chasing after happiness and entertainment, food and drink, books and gadgets. You stand accused as they did of loving yourself more than your neighbor and loving yourself much more than your God. Woe to you. In humble repentance, therefore, do we work in the vineyard of the Lord, dismayed at the greed that is in us and around us. Undaunted, we preach Christ crucified, even when those who are of the world would rather buy second and third homes and RVs and fifth wheels than feed their pastor and his family. We preach the word even though the world parties late on Saturday night, hungover on the pleasures of the flesh, while the remnant gathers over the only flesh which brings life and salvation. Oh, Sheol has enlarged its appetite to accommodate the multitude who clamor to be the first down into the pit. No doubt Isaiah would be shocked to see the state of things in our century, too. But maybe shocked is too strong a word. For as a man ordained by God to speak the Lord's words to a fallen world, Isaiah certainly understood the true condition of our race. In a way, it should be hard for us to be shocked by anything. The people of our time are no more hell-bent on living life to its fullest than the people of any other time. The pursuit of self has been around ever since Eve thought that she knew better about that one fruit. No generation lusts after other gods than any other. It's in our nature. We are sinful and unclean, so we confess. And therefore, theoretically, it should be awfully hard to be disillusioned by the wickedness of the world or even of our own flesh. Every generation needs to know that there is a solution. Every generation needs to know that there is a Savior, needs to know Jesus and know of Him. Every generation needs to hear that they are forgiven on account of Jesus' blood, which atones for the sin of the world. So, woe to you, but don't despair. Isaiah's speech is dire. It's a warning that should have brought about repentance to those who had ears to hear it. Instead, they kept on hearing but did not understand. They kept on seeing but did not perceive. They called evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And if those words don't strike a chord within your modern ears, then you're not paying attention to the world around you. These words are strikingly up to date, even though they were written 2,700 years ago. And this sounds so hopeless, but we do have hope, and so we plod forward. We keep hearing God's word. We keep preaching the truth in and out of season, enduring the suffering, fighting the good fight of the faith. For if God himself is for me, I may defy the evil foe, and nothing can drive me from God's love. That is the love that came down from heaven to dwell among us in the flesh, in order to be sacrificed for our salvation, to die and rise again, defeating sin, death, and Satan. We cannot stop the sin of the world, nor can we save the world. We cannot stop those who are determined to run headlong into Sheol, who do not regard the deeds of the Lord or see the work of his hands. Only the Holy Spirit can bring faith to those whose ears are open. We pray for justice, yet any justice in this world is just a pathetic shadow of the justice that is to come. But then that is exactly our hope. That is exactly what keeps us going, that Jesus has accomplished this, that he has shown himself holy in righteousness, so that on that day when we inherit heaven, the eyes of the haughty shall be brought low while the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice. On that day, the lambs shall graze as in their pasture, and the nomads shall eat among the ruins of the rich. The poor will be raised up from the dust, the needy lifted from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor, the hungry filled with good things, and the rich sent empty away. Until that day, we carry on in the faith handed down by the apostles because we are assured of forgiveness in Christ, trusting in his eternal promise of eternal life. So do not despair, but repent. Do not be anxious, but sing a Te Deum. For though you were angry with me, O Lord, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. In the name of Jesus, amen.